You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Back, folks, to this final hour of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. We are graced by, and I'm just happy beyond belief to have Coach Dave Dobenmeyer in studio. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, you remember him, Past the Salt, PT Salt. Coach Dave Live. Just thank Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. In studio, this is, actually, we're going to have to mark the calendar. This is an unbelievable day. It's a great day for us, the fact that he is in studio. And if you want to be in studio guest, well, you can be. But Coach, he's special. He really is. A special guy, actually going to be tomorrow in Buffalo. Folks, men leaders out there, if you want to be part, if you want to get in the game, you want to be part of the battle, you want to help Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, email him tonight, coach@coachdavelive.com. Bottom line, join him in Buffalo, New York. If you're within, well, if you live within the continental United States, you can do that.
Doug, Coach, I just got an email, my own email here from a young guy down in West Virginia, blind. Just put me in the game. So I'll be in touch, brother. I'll be in touch, man. Hey, we don't turn down anybody. we need players.
But that's the spirit. And then I can't do it. I got a cold, or I can't do it because, well, my foot hurts, yeah, or whatever. But here's a blind guy, somebody who's really got a problem.
Yep. And most of it's fear. Most of it's fear, brother. It is. Yeah.
And you talk about the difference between. Are you hurt or are you injured?
Scripture says Jesus said they overcame him by the. I'm sorry. Book of Revelation says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loving not their own lives even to the point of death. And we love ourselves too much, Doug. We really do. You know, Scripture says when you become born again, I'm born again, brother. I'm born again, and it says I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. The life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. I'm already a dead man, Doug. I'm already a dead man.
We all are.
We're all dead men, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
And we're either going to let Christ live through us or we're not. I'm not a perfect guy. I don't want it to even sound like that. You talk to my wife, she can talk to some of my friends. I mean, I ain't far from perfect. I had a go around yesterday with a buddy and because I'm so direct and so upfront and so harsh. I said, listen, man, my whole career has been, you got 20 seconds to make a point, right? You run a play, and that play's over. You ain't got all day to soothe the guy's wounded ego. You got to make a point and move on, right?
Right.
And you got to tell him, suck it up. Hey, let's go now. And so I still act like that. And it comes across as a harshness, but it's not a harshness, Doug. It's an urgency. It's an urgency. And I'd like just to take a few minutes here as we start this third hour, if you don't mind, that I want to make an appeal to men, to manhood. to manhood.
All right.
We're so dying. We're dying for manhood. Oh my goodness. I'll give you an example. I had a relative of mine that I was, I was sharing the gospel with, trying to, his life was a mess, and I was trying to share the gospel with him. And, after about the third time I'd met with him, he said something that I'll never forget. He said, Coach, I'm really impacted by what you say, and I really see it's real with you. But he said, to be honest with you, he told me, I can't do it because I don't want to lose my balls. I don't know if I was allowed to say that.
Oh, yeah.
You get what he said to me, Doug?
I'm trying to understand that.
He's looking at Christianity and saying, I got to stop being a man. When I become a Christian, I got to stop being a man.
I can't even think that way. And maybe...
Well, let's think about the average Christian guy that you run into. Don't you see him kind of as a pushover? A soft guy?
That's true. Okay, so what you're saying, it's the perception of being a wuss. Right?
That's right. See, what we're selling, I hate to use that term, but we are.
All right.
What we're selling has to be appealing to our product. And you mean to tell me that I'm going to be able to go out and I'm going to recruit a world changer and make him think that he has to become soft and sissified to be able to do that? See, the Lord made me the way I am. He changed my nature, but he didn't change me, Doug. He didn't take away the aggressiveness. He changed the focus of my aggressiveness. He made me the way that I am. And sadly, in our churches today, pastors do not want strong, opinionated men. Now, our churches are full of type A personalities. Guys who own their own businesses, maybe are millionaires, make split-second decisions.
Right.
And they come into the church, and they get turned into these type C guys. I'll ask guys that, hey, want to go to the clinic with me? Doug, I'm not making this up. I'm talking about men's men, right? Say, hey, listen, we need some help. You want to go to the clinic with us? And you know what they'll say? Well, I have to ask my pastor. So what?
Why?
You gotta ask your pastor. What are you talking about, man? Do you ask your pastor every business deal you make and every employee you fire and everybody you hire? You gotta go ask your pastor? What's wrong with you, bud? And so what's happened to us is we have taken, again, this compartmentalized Christianity. We take a man, we get him born again, and we turn him into something he's not. I got a scripture I want to share here. Did you want to say something? I'm not trying to...
No. I'm still processing that. Go on.
Matthew 16:13. Jesus is with the disciples at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, which, by the way, Caesarea Philippi was the Las Vegas of its day. In fact, it was right at the base of Mount Hermon where they dug through the babies into what they thought was the gates of hell, the bottomless pit. There was a falls there. That's where they are. They're at the gate. They're at Caesarea Philippi. I'm in Matthew 16:13 for anybody out there that wants to verify that I'm not lying to you. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I am? I'm just going to stop right there a minute. The world's asking that right now. Who is the Lord? Who is he? Who is Jesus? And they're kind of stuck for a minute because they don't really know what to say. But finally, one of them says, doesn't tell us who, it says, and they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Time out a minute. How could they possibly have confused Jesus with John the Baptist? You know what he did, right? Locust and wild honey, wild and crazy man, went to Hillary Clinton and called her a name and cost him his head, right? You know who Jeremiah was? You know who Elijah were? These guys called down fire, right?
Right.
And Jesus, when he goes into Caesarea Philippi, and they're doing a little bit of street ministry, by the way, preaching the Old Testament because they're writing the new one.
Right.
They don't have
That's
the New
correct.
Testament, right?
Right?
They're in there. And Jesus says, okay, boys, what are they saying about me? They said, man, they're crazy. They think you're nuts. They think you're John the Baptist. They think you're Jeremiah. They think you're one of the prophets raised from the dead. You getting the picture here, Doug?
Got it.
It ain't Mr. Rogers. It ain't Joel Osteen they're talking about here. They're talking about somebody. They're making this comparison. Now, did Jesus say, oh, are you kidding me? How could they get me confused with John? I'm not like that. I'm nice. I'm loving. Not what he said. Listen what he said. Cool, huh? They said, you're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus said unto them, oh yeah? Who do you say I am? There's your word for the day. Who do you say he is? Huh? You, who do you say he is? Do you think he's a man? I'm talking to the men out there.
Mm.
Do you think he's some sissified guy with skinny jeans, moosed hair? Do you think he's just some old soft guy that probably was in the choir?
Metrosexual.
A metrosexual?
Yeah.
Do you think that? That's what, again, remember I said that guy said to me, I don't want to lose my goods, right? He's looking at Jesus. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And we're asking that question today. Who is Jesus?
Right.
Who is he? Jesus says, it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying to me. Who do you think say I am?
Who do you think I am?
Because once you figure out who I am, right?
Yep. Huh?
Now, we'll follow this logic.
I'm there.
Because the loudmouth speaks up. Peter says, why, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. First one to ever get that revelation, by the way. And Jesus pulls back and says, wow. I mean, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but he was in awe.
Right.
He says, oh, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father in heaven. Now, Doug, stay with me.
Okay.
Now, listen. The next verse is, and upon this rock I'm going to build me a church,
right,
and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Time out, folks. I've been taught my whole life that the rock was Peter. Peter was the rock. Or I heard people say, when Jesus said upon this rock, he was talking about Peter, and Peter becomes the first pope. Or I heard people say, no, it was the revelation who Jesus was. That's who it was. That was the rock that, no. Hey folks, where are they? Where are they? Doug, where are they? They are standing at Caesarea Philippi, which was the gates of hell. They believed it to be the gates of hell. And Peter says, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, yes! And upon this rock, what rock? Right where they're standing. So right here, I'm building me a church. We're going to storm the gates of hell. Now, folks, when is the last time you envisioned Jesus as a stormtrooper? A guy who was going to attack and destroy the gates of hell. And when he made disciples, that's what he was creating. He was creating others just like him. Doug, he went into the temple, yard sale, flea market. He went into the temple, and what did he do? He flipped up those tables and he swung a whip. Yeah. And as far as I know, ain't nobody tried to stop him. There must have been something about his aura that people recognized authority, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the image of a Christian man today?
Sadly, no.
It's not.
No.
Now, Doug, I'm not talking about cussing, carousing, throwing your golf clubs. I'm not talking about that.
No.
I'm talking about a guy who'll stand principled and look you in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I ain't moving. I'm not giving on
right.
this issue.
There is a righteous anger that is necessary, that is absent in today's Christian male. And we talk about this a lot. in the fact that and I think that this coach, I mean, this is one of those issues where I get emails on saying, "Why do you get so angry?"
Oh my goodness!
Well, it's—I mean, maybe it is anger, righteous anger, but there's frustration because of that that issue where you've got to check your your cojones in at the door.
Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to, brother.
Yeah,
we're not.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to. You read the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
brother. Hey, listen, Jesus told us this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing." He says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward." Jesus also said, all of those who live godly lives will suffer persecution. Jesus said, they hated me first, they're going to hate you. Doug, where do we get this image that he's Mr. Rogers, he's go along to get along? And see, what's happened is we've allowed them to counterfeit Jesus and turn him into the love doctor, the doctor of love, that he's just love, 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 that he loves everybody. You know, in the same scripture, Matthew chapter 3, where it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you continue on down into verse 28 of John 3, it says this, that apart from Christ, the wrath of God abides on you.
Mm. Okay.
We don't think about that, do we? We think Jesus is just okay with everything. What was Doobie Brothers? Jesus is just all right with me and Doug. That's not the gospel, brother.
No,
it's not the gospel. God hated sin so much he sent his Son, and so we look what's going on in our churches. Why is homosexuality legal in America? Because it's become accepted in the church, and we don't believe the Bible enough to believe that Jesus is against homosexuality. He's against it. And because we've been convinced that he's love, 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 therefore for us to resist or speak against any sin is not loving and therefore not Christian. Brother, that's not the gospel.
You know what? I can't think of a better segue into this email which we got. I'm going to put you on the spot here because I got this email. And perhaps you can answer this. I'm not going to give the name of this individual. Let's see here. I got to make the print bigger. Okay. This is from a Hispanic Christian woman, Coach. Okay. Mm-hmm. She writes this. Now, this is obvious in reference to the first part of the program. She writes this, "As a Hispanic Christian woman, I found tonight's guest to be offensive and racist. Now, 5 minutes into the show, I could not continue to listen to this type of garbage. I watch your show to hear the truth unbiased. I want to be edified, not to groan in my spirit. To have to listen to this type of trash, I can pick up an Inquirer magazine at any bookstand. That way I know what type of print I'm going to fill my mind with. Should it matter what color of skin a human being has to be accepted, even in the Christian world? I know this was in reference to the police shootings in Dallas. Nonetheless, racist, always a racist." Didn't quite fit in there. And she signs her name from New Mexico. There it is.
Okay, well, first of all, she identified herself by race.
Yes, sir.
Did she not?
Yes, sir.
I haven't identified myself by race, I don't think. I haven't. But, Doug, here's the point. There's only two races. I said this earlier. So, folks, listen to me. You're not a body. You are a spirit who lives in a body. You possess a soul. And you, some of you are going around in Hispanic bodies. Some of us are going around in German bodies. Some of us are going around in black bodies. Some of us are going around in Asian bodies. But we are, it is the soul. See, we are soul, we are living souls. And what the enemy has been able to do is to convince us that we are, oh my goodness, classified by our body. I'm a brand new creature. When I got born again, and that Hispanic woman who's listening, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're not Hispanic. I'm not white. We have fallen into a trap where they use color and race to divide us. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. First of all, I guess I'm unusual because I'm not afraid to talk about it. Most people won't talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it. And to say to my black brothers and to my yellow brothers and to my whatever color brothers, you're my brother in Christ. I heard a well-known pastor just yesterday, this morning, Doug, mm-hmm. talking about the incident down in Dallas.
Yep.
And he kept referring to his black brothers and sisters. I'm thinking, you're so blind. You're so blind. I'm your brother.
Right.
We're identifying. They've got us identifying by the wrong things. I'm never going to apologize. I'm not a racist bone in my body, and I am not going to back up one inch on that issue. If you think it's racist, I don't even know what to tell you.
You know, and that's something I found out. People hear what they only want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But an important part of this, and I thought you did this on air, I know you did it off air during our conversation, you made a very important distinction between race and culture. And I think too many people today misidentify or mischaracterize that particular issue. Folks, I mean, in my view, and Coach, I'm going to be quiet because no one's listening to hear me. We have one of the most, at least in my view, one of the most racist people in the White House that ever was there. And right now, in my view, this is one of the most racially divisive times in American history.
Why does he have to identify as a black man? Why is that so important? By the way, Doug, he's half white.
Well, he's actually not even. He's Arab.
He's Arab.
Yeah.
He's not even what they say he is.
Right.
And what does that matter anyway?
Yeah. Who cares?
What does it matter?
Well, I suppose the theory is. Well, you know, our treatment of the blacks. Well, you know, who cares what that is? I don't know.
600,000 men died for the sin of slavery.
Right.
600,000 men.
Right.
Brother, huh?
Yep.
Listen, can we be truthful? There ain't no better place in the world to be a black man than in the United States of America.
Oh, I agree with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on. So we got to get by. We got to get by and talk about the black church and the white church and the Hispanic church and the Russian church. Yeah, don't we hear that stuff all the time?
That's right.
All the time.
Yeah.
We're one body and we're many members. We're all of the body of Christ. All of us are.
That's right.
And again, you're not a body. You are a spirit that possesses a soul with a mind and a will and emotion. And the part of you that will live forever is the invisible part of you. Why are we focusing on the outside appearance? The scripture is very clear. You don't judge by outward appearance. You judge by the heart. Stop the identity politics. Especially stop it in the church. Hmm. I made some friends there, didn't we?
I could tell you this, in my EMS days, I could tell you that we're all, once you're on the inside of a skin suit, you can't tell if that person's black or white.
Isn't that the truth, huh?
Yeah.
Can I tell you another funny dynamic?
Yeah, please,
when I was coaching football too.
Sure.
We coached a racially diverse. See, I have the right language there now. No, I have a racially diverse team.
Uh-huh.
Back when I was
okay.
coaching.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we loved each other, and we were good, and we were brothers, man. It didn't matter what color you were. We were, man, we were good, and we were a family. But I'd always watched a really unbelievable dynamic, Doug. We would take the guys, and we would go to the junior high football game on Thursday night. They would play. We'd play on Friday. The junior high would play on Thursday.
Right.
We would go as a team. We'd wear our team jerseys, and we'd sit in there and watch the junior high. And I always watched with amazement. The black kids always sat together. It wasn't a racial thing, brother. It was a cultural thing.
That's right. That's right.
We yep. all feel comfortable amongst our own. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
The white players
I do.
Loved yeah. the black players. They loved each other.
Right.
But culturally, why are we denying that cultures are a little bit... Wait a minute. Ethnicities... bring about different cultures, see? And so I heard Cassius Clay say, bluebirds hang with bluebirds, redbirds hang with redbirds, eagles hang with eagles. People like to hang around people like them. Doesn't make anything bad or anything good. It just is a reality of life.
That's right.
But when we get born again, that skin suit don't have anything to do with it. We got to quit focusing on it. The average person listening to me right now, even though they say they're not racist, they're probably not going to, if they're white, they're probably not walking into a black church. Some will. They may know the people, but they say, honey, let's go to church today. Let's go down there to that church on the corner where all those.
Right.
They're not going to do that. You go where you feel comfortable.
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean,
it's not a racist thing.
No, and you're right. It's a cultural thing.
It's an ethnic, yeah. cultural thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you on that. And folks, if you have a question for Coach Dave Dobmeier, feel free to send it studio@HagmanandHagman.com. Now, somebody wants you to clarify this. This from Anthony. He writes this. Regarding your comment about Catholics and Jews on the Supreme Court, I don't recall specifically what you said about that. I mean, except
I said there were no Protestants on the Supreme
okay.
Court. Yeah.
Okay, I don't recall your distinction between Catholics and Jews. Anyway, are biblical beliefs of Catholics, now parenthetically, he writes, mm-hmm. including Orthodox Christians and Jews, so at variance with Protestants to the degree they are not capable of adhering to, quote, biblical beliefs, end quote, like Protestants? In his follow-up, or I guess the money question is this, would you say they have an inferior mindset?
No, I'd say they have a... in fact, Scalia was a great, great Catholic Christian on this. He represented the views of probably most evangelical Christians,
okay.
I would say, right?
Right.
But the truth is, if we're going to talk about diversity here, then there ought to be some people on that Supreme Court that look like me. There should be. That's what they're telling us all the time, right?
Right.
There ought to be some people on that Supreme Court that share my values. Now, I was raised Catholic. I'm no longer a Catholic. I found Jesus outside the Catholic Church. I'm not here to bash on Catholics. I got into the Bible when I received Christ.
Okay.
And I would feel a lot better. I think America would be in a different situation if we had some Bible, true, evangelical, Bible-believing Christians on the U.S. Supreme Court. Not that they're smarter than anybody else, not that they're more righteous than anybody else, but Doug, we know right now that an evangelical Christian has a difference in opinion in some issues with Catholics. Catholics don't all represent evangelical Christians,
that's
and
right.
evangelical Christians don't represent all Catholics.
Exactly.
So if evangelical Christians are about 68% of the populace,
okay.
It tells me that we ought to have four or five evangelical Christians on the Supreme Court. Why aren't they? If the Supreme Court is supposed to reflect us, well, we got Hispanics on there, we've got Jews on there, we got every... Well, we don't have any evangelical Christians.
Well, however, Coach, to those university-going intellectuals out there... No, we're not talking religion here. We're talking some other litmus test.
Yeah, they think we don't have teeth.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They think we're corn pokes. Do you know that Scalia, in the Obergefell decision, Scalia referenced that?
Yeah.
Elite, all of those people all went to the same colleges.
Yep.
All of them did, right? It's not a cross-section of what America looks like at all. So I wasn't besmirching Catholics nor besmirching Jews. I was saying, where are the evangelical Christians?
That's all I'm saying. And that's a valid question, too.
Yeah.
So, Anthony, there you go, sir. All right. Very good. Okay. By the way, Coach, did you know this? I'm sure you did. And Eric, you can pick this up if you want. Kim Davis, her troubles continue. And thank you, sir. Attorney General's office says Kim Davis violated state's Open Records Act. Let me just make sure that he's got the date right on this. Did you hear anything about this? WDRB.com.
No. Okay. Doesn't mean she didn't, but that's not a religious issue, is
true.
It?
Not at all.
Can I say this about the Kim Davis issue? By the way, I'm thank God for Kim Davis. She did what most pastors wouldn't do. She stood. God bless her for standing, but she stood for the wrong thing. Kim Davis, her argument was, I don't have to violate my conscience.
Right.
That was her argument. That's not a good argument.
And many people had reacted to that position at the time she made it. And in fact, I think I did a commentary on this myself about Kim Davis. Didn't she allow her name to be, or
she allowed her associates to sign them as long as her name didn't
what
go
he
on.
Said folks okay yeah
right so here's the point yeah. Here's the point. This is the position Kim Davis should have taken, and ultimately the position that we're going to have to take. Listen, I'm a Christian, and my faith teaches me that is not marriage.
Right.
It is not a law. And as an elected official, you cannot force me to endorse something that is not a law.
Right.
It's not about religious freedom. Homosexuals have a conscience. Homosexuals have conscience. Drunks have a conscience. We all have the right to conscience. This is not about the right to conscience. This is a right. This is about the law. The law.
Well, I mean, in that respect, it's not a law. I mean,
that should have been her sole argument.
Exactly.
It's not a law.
Exactly. And why, folks, I mean, how difficult is this if it violates God's law and it has no, and it's unconstitutional?
It's no law at all, Doug.
It's
hey,
no
Doug,
law at all.
Doug. That's that culture we're talking about.
There you go.
Christianity teaches that if it violates the law of God, it's no law at all. Yep. What did Thomas Jefferson say in the Declaration of Independence? The laws of nature and of nature's God.
Right.
And so, from my perspective as a Christian man, if it violates the law of nature or the law of nature's God, it can never be legal. It can never be a law. The law of nature says that marriage is one man, one Bible. Jesus said that, right?
Right.
Man shall leave his a mother and a woman leave her home. The two shall become one. That is a law of nature that can never be violated. You cannot make a law to violate the laws of nature.
Right.
Right? You can overcome the laws of nature. You can get artificially inseminated, but two men will never create a baby,
right,
and two women will never create a baby. So therefore, when you have to take those extraordinary circumstances, that tells you you're violating a law.
Right.
Then people will say, well, Coach, what about those people who are sterile and they can't get pregnant? Well, the possibility is always there, isn't it? It's always there. Yeah, two healthy men will never produce a baby.
Yeah.
So the laws of nature and of nature's God. I try to tell people I come down kind of as a Christian libertarian. As long as it doesn't violate the laws of nature and of nature's God,
right,
in our society, I'm kind of okay with it. You know, they say, well, what about smoking pot? Well, I don't smoke pot. I don't know why anybody would want to smoke pot. But does smoking pot violate the laws of nature and of nature's God? Man, we could get in an argue over that one.
But see, Coach, in my view, with everything else going on, and Christians getting their heads chopped off, and hundreds of millions of babies being aborted, you're gonna focus in on pod.
Shows where we are, doesn't it, brother?
Man, alive. This from SR. I'm not gonna, because of the uniqueness of the name, writes, you guys are on fire tonight. Don't ever apologize, referring to me, apparently, because I always end up saying I'm sorry. You and Dave are hitting your stride, and I'd love to hear you both do a regular segment.
Yep. Amen. Right. We'll catch you at CoachDaveLive.com.
There you go.
There's a bunch of segments there, and they're an hour long, and you can listen into them, and I think they will encourage you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. They tell us politics is the art of compromise.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Christianity isn't. Christianity is not the art of compromise. And we're in the mess that we are in because we have compromised on the most basic of Christian principles, Doug. That's why we are in the mess that we are in. Just think about how many in the church maybe where you go. In the church where you go, folks, are there men and women living together who aren't married? Are they living together and going to church and the church is accepting them? Is that going on? See, we compromise in so many different ways. And what's happened to us is humanism, see, been taught in our schools. Yep. It's crept into our churches. And what is humanism? Humanism is nothing more than the worship of man. Man is the end all. So therefore, yep, because humanism has crept into the church, the last thing we want to do is make a person feel bad. You see what they've done to us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what they've done to us.
Yep.
And Jesus, I'm sorry, he was a fire and brimstone kind of guy. They all were fire and brimstone kind of guys. Read the book of Jude, for heaven's sakes. They warn us. He says, rescue them, pull them out of the fire. Paul said, preach the gospel, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is not about hurting people's feelings, but sadly, goes back to my buddy who didn't want to lose his whatevers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're mean now. You're mean. Coach, you're so mean. You're so harsh. Man, I'm sorry I am, but I am not bending and I am not bowing on this issue. Why is that so hard for us to understand? Hey, Doug, we can't agree to disagree on issues of truth.
Exactly. Look, and I'll say this, and I got this from you. America does not have an intolerance problem or a problem with intolerance. We've got a problem with tolerance.
We do. Think about just that word. What does that mean to tolerate? Tolerate.
To tolerate. To accept, even begrudgingly accept. Perhaps.
Yeah, but whatever. Say, well, I can't already tolerate that.
Oh, like, yeah.
And they tell us that we're supposed to tolerate that? Why are we? Yeah. Why am I supposed to tolerate that? Why don't I have the right not to tolerate that? I don't want to keep that away from me. I don't want that. Don't teach that to my children. Don't bring it into my schools. Don't bring it into my government. Right. I don't want that. I don't want to tolerate. I used to have a shirt that I wore. Actually, Flip gave it to me. It said, intolerance is a beautiful thing.
I like that.
Huh? Jesus wasn't very tolerant.
No. And, you know, tolerance is not a virtue. Guys. Guys, become leaders out there.
Jesus said, I am the way.
Right.
I am the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I am the light. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's about as intolerant a position as you could ever hold.
Yeah. Well, him or Muhammad, I think he said. Or, wait a minute. No, he didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, or Buddha. No, he didn't say that either. Exactly. So, yeah, to talk about intolerance, there you have it.
Let me throw you another nugget at you. This will make some of you mad out there, too. Talking about Jesus and Muhammad or Christianity and Islam, and you hear them make the comparisons about, Christians have killed a lot of people, yada, yada, all that stuff. Listen, folks, when you get to its very core, the closer you get to Muhammad, the more violent you become.
Oh, yeah.
And the more closer you get to Jesus, the more peaceful you become. Brother, these are diametrically opposed. And you know what we see going on? The battle's always, they say the devil lives in the extremes.
Yeah.
Well, people say those Muslims that are doing all that, those chopping all those heads off, they're fundamentalists, they're radical, they don't represent all of Islam. Well, they say that about me with my Christianity. He's radical, he's fundamentalist, he doesn't represent all of Christianity. When the truth of the matter is...
You do.
I do.
Yeah, and I told Joe the other day, I said, would you stop saying, you know, fundamentalist Islam or radical Islam? It's Islam, period.
Amen.
Folks, we have to stop using this perverted form of language. This is my view, okay? I am an unapologetic Christian, all right? And so is Coach Dave. Well, I don't want to speak for him, but you make up your mind. Look, it's really simple. I'm going to leave it there.
Doug, I was a pretty good high school football coach, and one of the things that the other coaches would often say to me, they said that, Coach, you guys are great on fundamentals. You guys don't beat yourself. Now, I want to ask you something. Why is that a good quality as a coach to be a fundamentalist, but it's not a good quality as a Christian?
Because we've been brainwashed to believe in the perverted, don't believe in the lie.
Yeah, we have. We've had. And because the mushy middle, remember this, broad is the way and narrow is the gate, right?
Yep.
Many and few, that's all. That's all throughout the scripture.
Exactly. We're got somebody, Pat from London, England, checking in, saying, you know, keep on rocking.
Hey, Pat over there in London, my brother's over in London right now. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Brexit is the wasp waking up, Doug. It is the wasps waking up. And if our brother there in London, if we could get him on the air, he would tell us London, England is losing its identity. They are losing their culture. The mayor of London, England,
Siddiqui,
is a Muslim. England, the motherland. And so what is Brexit about? Yeah, it's about a lot of different things, but I'm telling you what it is those wasps are seeing what's going on.
That's
with
right.
with this European Union. It's, we're going to lose who we are, and we're doing away with this.
And isn't it interesting, Coach, that we are watching the globalists have just this, you know, aneurysm, this fit, this... Oh, you know, and they are, and I couldn't believe this. You know, Samantha Bee. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I happened to see a commercial for her show where she is painting anyone in favor of Brexit as being essentially being a kook.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I figure, boy, you know, you get people like that involved in selling the lie, then you know they're desperate. So keep on doing that.
So Donald Trump is Brexit.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Do we see, folks, do we see that?
Yes.
Donald Trump is Brexit. This is this cultural pushback.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and defend Donald Trump and his supposed Christian faith. I'm not going to defend that. But he is Brexit. He is somebody standing up and saying, no, no, they're destroying this country. No more. No more. That's what he's saying, Doug.
Yep.
And
yep.
That ought to tell us that this is something that's happening in more places than just America.
We are Brexit. I mean, really.
We are. Yep. But they're trying. They're doing everything with this TPP, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. TPP, TPIP, and the TPA for the TPP and the TP, period.
So let me give you a TP here, folks. If this diversity and inclusion and multiculturalism is such a good thing, hey, Doug, how come those Syrian refugees, how come none of those are going to China or Japan? How come they're not shipping those guys down to South Africa? How come they're not going down into the Philippines? And the reason they're not doing that is because the culture they must destroy is our culture. And if they flood us with enough multiculturalism,
then
our culture ceases to be. That's the battle. It ain't race, buddy. It's culture. Christian culture. Western civilization.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And there it is. See, folks, this is why you need to watch Coach Dave live. You need to listen to him and join him in his works and support him. Go to CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com. Folks, we need to support Coach Dave in all of his endeavors. Tomorrow, if you're near Buffalo, if you're in the United States tomorrow, join him in Buffalo, New York. Email him at Coach@CoachDaveLive.com. Find out where to meet up. Bring yourself, man.
And, Doug, we have the most amazing little Bible studies on every morning.
Yeah.
And you know what we do? We open this thing up and we read a verse. I say, hey, okay, man, what's going on? What do you think? What does that mean there? What does that mean? I don't want to know what they taught you it meant.
Right.
Just read it and tell me what you think that means. And why is that in there?
Well, that's a unique approach.
It is a unique approach. Because as I said to you during one of the breaks, I go to church. I get frustrated at church because I always want to stand up in the middle of the sermon and say, time out.
I can see you doing
that. Wait a minute here. Wait a minute. I got a question, right? You're not allowed to do that in church, right? You won't be around very long if you do that. But I was always taught that you learn by asking questions. So somebody tell me this. When was the last time you were permitted to ask a question during a sermon in your church?
You know, I can see you doing that, Coach. I could see you asking a question or objecting or whatever during a sermon. And I could tell you this. I guess only attorneys are allowed to yell objection in a courtroom. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
That's why I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's why I get the left foot of fellowship so much, I think, Doug.
Exactly.
I'm a searcher of the truth, brother. I'm a seeker of the truth. I don't know it all, but I got to tell you, I'm looking for it.
But see, seek and you shall find, right? I mean, we have to keep searching or else.
Hey, Doug, if you think about this, folks, think about this. How many things don't you believe today that you believed 10 years ago? How many things don't you believe today that you believed 10 years ago? See, the scripture says that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
Right? When I first heard Steve Quayle talking about some of that stuff he talked about, I thought that this guy is nuts.
No, I told him as much.
Until I started to study it a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, some of the things I used to believe, I don't believe that anymore. I listen to Russ Dizdar.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what? MK Ultra? What are you talking about? Damn it. Oh, come on. Hey, now I see things a little bit differently, right?
That's right.
He presented something that I, outside that box that I was trapped in, and a whole new world came open to me. And we have to begin, folks, to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. That the Holy Spirit will confirm in our hearts with what's being said is the truth or not. We have to trust the Holy Spirit to do that.
And I think we rise to that wherever we are in our lives, individually. I think we rise to that at different times. Many more fortunate people arrive at that at different areas, levels of knowledge earlier in life, and they have advantages. But you are correct, sir. And I mean, I look back and thinking, and I remember arguing with Steve Quayle and just driving him absolutely nuts, saying, "Hey, Steve, man, you're wrong. I mean, you're not only wrong, but you're nuts."
Mm-hmm.
And he was patient enough, and he said, "You'll find out."
A wise man said, "In a time of universal deceit,
telling the truth
becomes a revolutionary act."
Yep,
isn't it?
Yep.
Hey, he's the great deceiver. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the names they give him? He's the great deceiver. Yeah. He's the great deceiver. And sadly, boy, there's a lot of us that have been deceived. We've been taught things that just absolutely aren't true. And I'm free in my life because I'm not afraid to know the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free when you come to that realization.
That's right.
Not what you think is the truth, the actual truth.
Right. Perception is not necessarily reality. So, folks, remember that.
Amen on that one.
Well, here's a message from Deborah S. Writes this. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Doug, for Coach being on the show tonight. He showed me so clearly that there are so many of us who, and in parentheses, from Ezekiel 9, chapter 9, verse 4, sigh in that cry for all the abominations done in the midst thereof.
Amen. Amen.
And then she writes, sometimes I feel alone in my disgust for the things that disgust God. Thank you for lifting up the smile on my face again. Please tell him. Well,
amen.
Thank you so much. May God richly bless you.
Let me tell you something. You're not alone. You're not alone. Believe me. There's so many of them out there. That's one of the amazing things that's happened with us, happening with us on our little morning show. I got guys. I wish I could have them on to testify, because it sounds like I'm trying to, you know, make me sound important. When truth gets into a guy, it changes his heart.
Oh yeah,
Doug, I've got a guy who's driving tomorrow from Atlanta, Georgia, to be with me at Buffalo. He's leaving tonight, driving all night, going to be with me tomorrow, and brought his wife with him so he can drive right straight back home. I got a guy who's coming from Augusta, Maine, doing the exact same thing. Because why? Because the Lord has impressed upon his heart that he needs to be there. He needs to be there, and he's being obedient to the Lord. So I'm just trying to help people to understand that this thing is so much deeper than we understand it to be. And the deeper you dive in, man, oh man, the more you find the grace of God and the power of God.
Amen, brother.
And I can't wait to hit the streets tomorrow, because Jesus always shows up.
And folks, this is not a sales pitch. This is why we need to support Coach Dave. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. You know, I call him America's coach, because he is. He is. He's building a team. It's in the works. He's a man's man, as you can see.
Hey, Doug, show him that team jersey again right there. If anybody makes a donation, we'll send you a team jersey. And you can wear it around. You wear it into the shopping center. You can go and get your groceries, and you wear that. I promise you, it'll turn heads.
All right, here's the front of it, folks.
Oops. Truth sounds like hate. I'll be wearing that one tomorrow in Buffalo.
All right. Here's the back of it.
Jesus is the judge. Therefore, abortion's murder, homosexuality is sin, Islam is a lie, evolution's a delusion, feminism is rebellion, liberalism is a false religion, and conservatism is pretend salt. So if anybody makes a donation tonight, we'll send them a shirt, Doug, and then they can go make friends at their local school and go to the family reunions and wear that thing, and that's just proclaiming the truth.
And you know what? More, look, we need the truth disseminated. We need it done effectively. We need men of character and integrity like Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, to be our leaders in terms of the activities that we're in, which we are involved here of the world. And I thank God for Coach Dave and people like him, because without Coach Dave, I'll tell you, we'd be in much sorrier shape than we are right now. And I want to thank you for your gift of time.
Well, Doug, we want to make sure that we let everybody know that we're both going to be in Knoxville, right?
We've got a schedule issue.
You're not going to be.
No, however.
I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there. Josh Hawley's going to be there. What a great
lineup.
We can
look them in the eye and communicate.
What a great
and
lineup.
Encourage
yeah.
one another.
Absolutely.
Come and join it, man. Come and join it if you can. It'll be a great event.
Exactly. And folks, that's Knoxville. Here are the Watchmen, September 30th, October 1st. And second, right?
I think I got those dates right.
John B. Wells is going to be there. You remember Dallas or us talking about it? Look, folks,
real people, man. It's
absolutely.
Real people.
And rub elbows with Coach Dave and other people, luminaries.
I've got good friends that I met at Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Today I'm in communication with. So, yep, absolutely.
Oh, man, it's fabulous.
It's been great being on with you, Doug. I'm sorry, Coach, Joe couldn't be here.
Yeah, it's.
And,
But
I'm sorry if I've been a little hot tonight. It's just kind of the way I am. It's the way the Lord made me. You know?
Wouldn't want it any other way, folks. Coach Dave Dobmeier from CoachDaveLive.com. Visit his website, bookmark his site, and certainly support his efforts. Until next week, I'm Doug Hagman, Hagman & Hagman Report. God bless you. Stay safe. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.